I think for those who were involved in the first purchase of this place, it's showing its particular value this morning with the room that we can present it. And a very warm welcome, especially to visitors with us. And I hope it doesn't get too warm, but I'm trying to get as much air through as possible. I don't want to give too many notices. Most things are included in the print, but the one thing that I would like to highlight is the new leaflet that we've got here. There are a number of copies. There's stacks of copies available, so that if you know of people that you might like to let them know what we're doing, what the congregation is about, and so on, friends, and take some. There's also an item in the notice sheet just briefly explaining what we're hoping to do with the bulk of them, just getting them around the column, especially because so your help in that is welcome, but will also be sought after before long, and we're going to get something moving on that side. So let us come to worship God, and we come first to sing together in Psalm 111. Psalm 111, it's on page 391. Psalm 111, and we'll sing the verses 1 to 5, page 391. Praise ye the Lord with my whole heart, I will God's praise declare. For the assemblies of the just and congregation thine. The whole works of the Lord our God are great above all measure. Sought out they are of everyone that doth therein take pleasure. If you can't stand to sing, you will usually sing better. If you're stuck, then don't be ashamed to stay seated. Let's sing to God's praise.
Praise ye the Lord with my whole heart, I will God's praise declare. Where the assemblies of the just and congregations are,
provided the only way through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would accept us for his sake and in his name. So we pray that truly we will be drawn together in his name, that all we do will be seeking after his honor and glory, seeking to do your will and delight in it. We confess that there is a tendency amongst us. We are of the human race, which has sinned and is liable to sin, the race that will continue to seek after its own things, that each of us has such confusion even our hearts can be so deceitful, that our purposes can be hidden even from ourselves. And so we pray that your Spirit will work in us, and that truly we will be drawn together for your worship, for your praise, for your honor, and not ours, not our own entertainment, not simply our enjoyment. But Lord, even as we mention that word, we're called again to give praise and thanks unto you, that in seeking after your glory, you have ordained that men might also find true joy, which cannot be found anywhere else. May we know that each one this morning, by your grace, by your ministering to us, as we would humble ourselves to the worship of your name. You keep us each one, each in our various needs, that you would meet with us in your word this morning. We give thanks for your every blessing, bringing us into a new day, bringing us into such a glorious day, when we are led to rejoice all the more in the beauty and wonder of all your great works. But surely, O Lord, as we reflect upon these things, the majesty of them, the apparent stability of some of these things, that we would be reminded all the more and taken to you as the one who is unchanging, enduring, since your word therefore also endures, the word of promise on which we rely this morning. You lead us on in your prayer, and the glory will be yours in this place. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
Service this week, taking confession of our faith. And this morning I would like to take the words that are given to us in the work of the Church of many days gone by in the Heidelberg Catechism. I've chosen this perhaps partly because of the events of the past week. And this catechism asks the question at the outset, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer is as follows, and may this be our confession also this morning. What is your only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, unto my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready from now on to live for him. And God accepts such confession. May it be a blessing also in our lives. Would you turn with me to further element of confession in Psalm 46. Let's sing together Psalm 46. From the beginning, it's on page 271. Psalm 46, page 271. And we'll sing the verses marked 1 to 6. That's the first five stanzas. This too is a testimony of bearing witness to the place of God in our lives. God is our refuge and our strength in straits of present age. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. And so on through to the verse 9, 6. Again, if you can understand.
God is our refuge and our strength.
just spoken about confessing our faith. And there's one thing that we were unable to do at the communion 2 weeks ago. Baron Sandra applied for membership of the congregation, but were unable to be with us that day. So just to take a moment to send a welcome to you in the fellowship of this congregation, and trust God's blessing to be upon you in your involvement over, we hope, a number of years. And Jason as well, very much part of this picture. Yes, Jason, it's good too.
So thank you, Jason.
So I'd like to just give you a little note to as a reminder for yourselves of your joining with us, and also a little book that I've certainly found very helpful, A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God, just to encourage you, and very readable, not on your, when you're driving to work, but if you're driving another way, forever, it's very accessible, and I think it will be a great help to you. So God bless you, and if you will be a blessing to us as well, with us in this way. So let's just have a short word of prayer for you, especially, and for the building of the congregation together. Lord God, we do commend Kerry and Sandra and Jason to you as they join with us formally as members of this particular congregation. We give thanks, O Lord, that it is founded upon the testimony of the work of Christ, which in itself joins each one to the full body of Christ, which is your church. But how thankful we are that there is also the means by which we can make public testimony, by which we can publicly connect ourselves to a particular appearance of your body in a place. So we ask that this joining together will be prospered, if you will grant blessing to everybody involved, to the family as they join with the body of the congregation, with the congregation together as we take on other gifts, other individuals to contribute to the work of ministering to Christ, bearing testimony to Him, and seeking your glory in this place and in this region. And so we ask, Lord, that you would graciously watch over each of us as we are joined together in this way. For the glory of your name, and for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you, Doctor.
It's okay. You see, I want to ask the children, who knows the story of Snow White? Yeah? You know, Nicholas? Good. Now, is that the right name for the story? Snow White. Is that the way we call that story? Not sure. What's the right name for the story?
The White and the Seven Dwarfs.
And the Seven Dwarfs. That's it. And Seven Dwarfs. But you know, Snow White has her name. What about the Seven Dwarfs? Do they have names? Does anyone know any names of the Seven Dwarfs? Gideon? Sniffy? Any others? Ben? Grumpy? You've been reading, haven't you? What about you, John? Did you know Grumpy as well?
Yeah.
Yeah? Sleepy with Abby? Oh. Sleepy, isn't it? Sleepy?
Oh, I forgot that.
Who was the little one at the end?
Oh. Yes! I know. Yeah. Dopey.
Good. Okay. That's not seven, though, is it? Is there any others? Yeah? Wasn't there one called Happy? I thought there was one called Happy.
Yeah.
Why would he be called Happy? Why would he be called Grumpy? There's one called Grumpy as well.
He's very grumpy.
Very grumpy.
And he went to the water.
He wasn't happy though, was he?
No.
I think he was called grumpy, and the other one was called happy, because one was always grumpy. One was always happy. So you got that name. Do you know someone who's sometimes grumpy and sometimes happy? The same person. You can tell me. I won't tell anyone else. You? Okay, that's nice and honest. I won't tell anyone, okay? Yes, John.
And I'm dangerous.
Okay, I won't tell anyone. Yes, Ben? Me?
Yeah.
I won't tell anyone that one. Go ahead. But the thing is, I suppose, that there are people who are sometimes grumpy, sometimes happy. Is that nice and easy? I mean, with grumpy, the seven dwarf, the one of the dwarfs, if he was grumpy all the time, you'd know what to expect of him, wouldn't you? Yeah? If one was happy all the time, you know what to expect. But if somebody's sometimes grumpy, sometimes happy, it's a bit difficult, isn't it? Well, all I want to show you today, John, is that God is never like that. He doesn't change. Not one like one thing one time, another thing another time. He's always the same. You need to know that. Okay? There's kids that you play with at school, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're grumpy, yeah? Not just you, maybe. Other kids too. Maybe brothers and sisters, yeah? Moms and dads. Makes life difficult, right? School, at work, you know what it's like, moms and dads. Remember, you can always depend on God, because He's always the same. You know He's never going to be grumpy. What do you know about God? The Bible says God is love. It's always love. Doesn't change. Just want you to remember that. That fits in with what I'm going to talk about with that song as well. So try and remember it. That's it. Okay. We're going to read in Psalm 46. We'll read together in the Bible. In Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place with the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is God's word and His blessing. Be honest and honest as we receive it from God. Let us respond to our reading in God's Word, singing in Psalm 73 on page 96. Psalm 73
We're starting at verse 21 through to the end of the psalm on page 96. Psalm 73, page 96, verse 21 to the end. There's three stanzas there, and there is something being provided for the little children. I think it's true in the other kitchen there, and perhaps if the little children would like to go through, to take them through during the last stanza as they sing, that would be the best time to go. So, when my spirit was embittered and my heart with grief brought low, like a beast I was before you, dumb, understanding slow. Yet, O Lord, you hold my right hand. With you I will always go. To your glory you will bring me, and your counsel is my guide, and so on. Through to the end of the psalm, and 73, verse 21. And again, remember the last times of the people's children, and go on.
When my spirit was embittered and my heart with grief was low, like a beast I was before you, dumb in understanding slow. Yet, O Lord, you hold my right hand, with you I will always go.
Changeable, yes. where we are just the same. So here with Elijah, with the same passions, the same weaknesses. But the blessing it is, therefore, Lord, that it is not with us that it stops, but we know too that we have a high priest who is interceding for us in your very presence, who has been touched with these same infirmities and weaknesses, who has undergone the same temptations. This is the joy of it, O Lord, that we are led through this route to remember that he is without sin, and that without sin he has suffered on our behalf, and that suffering and death has no final victory if we come to you in him. Lord, we do commend to you those who are particularly suffering at the moment, those who have gone through the traumas of the past week in London, those who are bereaved. We ask, Lord, that where our lives might touch them, bring up them, that we will be able to minister to them with wisdom, with grace, with your love. We pray too for your people throughout this larger area of London, who may themselves also new contacts, may even be affected themselves, but fear to grace would guide and overrule to the nurturing and the winning of hearts. And to the one who suffered under the evil of man for no reason whatsoever, so we might be drawn to him, realizing that you had a purpose, that we might have hope and life everlasting through Christ Jesus our Lord. So Lord, we pray for this city. We give thanks that there are many elsewhere in this land and perhaps throughout the world who are praying for this city. In such a moment as this, O Lord, as this week has unfolded, and so many eyes, so many ears hear the name of London, it would be working your strength that something else might be heard, something else might be known, the working of your strength, a signal to the world of the vitality of revival, a signal to the world of this very confidence of which your Son, though the earth might move, God is our refuge. Watch over and keep us in your faith, as your servants, as those who, whom you have commissioned to go forth and bear testimony and to cast, and fill up every lack with them, to see and to see us for us. In his name we ask, if you want to accept us, and for his glory.
Please turn with me to Psalm 46, as we read there. Londoners, hasn't it? For people who belong here in this area. On Wednesday there was, for many, a euphoria
Thursday, such a trauma. Both places, both cases. There was shock, there was one case delight, another horror. Hopes and aspirations were at a height for many of Wednesday, brought down so quickly on Thursday. Wasn't it Kipling who wrote this poem and said, if you can keep your head when all around are losing theirs, when all around is changing, where is security? Where is stability? There are the ups and there are the downs. Where is the stability in all this? And I turn to Psalm 46 myself to find help, to find understanding. And in Psalm 46 we read of trouble and change. In Psalm 46 though we read that God is different from that. In Psalm 46 we read God's summons to know him. There's trouble and change when all the world around is changing. Trouble and change, but God is different. We must know him. The psalmist writes of trouble and change. He is a believer in God, and as a believer in God, he is not oblivious to the condition of the world around him. He doesn't say that all is going to be fine, all his problems are going to be removed because he believes in God. He has a great sense of trouble. And that even as a believer, he knows he is liable to being affected by trouble. We can see something, perhaps, of the kind of trouble that he's immediately concerned with, where this psalm comes out of. In verse 4, he says, there's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. It would suggest that he is in the holy city, Jerusalem. When you're in the city, in normal circumstances, there's no great difficulty. But when there is trouble, when that city is surrounded, one of the most vital elements that you need to help you through is a river, that is a water source. Jerusalem rested very heavily on a remarkable piece of engineering, that water was brought through that city, so that with a very effective siege around them, they could still survive. It's something of that kind of picture that he's making use of here. And certainly, you find through Israel's history that that city was often under assault from the nations who raged around her, the kingdoms that moved against her. It is possibly something like that kind of historical setting out of which this came. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. He's not just concerned. He's not just saying, around my city I have enemies. He's saying, we can survive with him. We've got the help that we need even with these enemies around us. It's not just because of that river. He says it's like a river. It's that God is here in the midst of her. The tabernacle is here. God's presence amongst his people. But he's going even further. He says, even if things got far worse than that, that's where he's going in verse 2 and so on. Their very present help in trouble, he says in verse 1. And therefore we will not fear. We won't be afraid when someone bullies us, perhaps at school, when things are difficult at work. He says, I'm not going to be afraid even though the earth be removed. The very thing that we're standing on now. We presume upon it. We come downstairs every morning. We stand on it. Our house rests on it. Our lives walk on it. But he says, even if it's removed, you won't be afraid. Even though the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea, that tsunami looked awfully frightening. I don't think I could have been without fear. When you see virtually mountains being dragged into the sea just storming over the top, the tempest all over them. Though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling of the sea. Says it all that, we will not be afraid. The most stable thing that anyone can think of, probably, the earth on which we stand, even though that is removed to us, God is our refuge. For the people of Israel, water was a fearful thing. They were scared of the Mediterranean Sea that was the great sea for them, that was on their border. They were very much aware that the flood in Noah's day swamped the earth and destroyed all man except for Noah. Let the earth be removed. What a trouble that would bring. Glorious. What a change that would bring. The stability that we're used to. There no longer. Nothing will stay the same. But if it doesn't, continue doting. What can you rely on? Who can you turn to? In James chapter 1, James says, speaking of God, he says that he is the one who gives all every good and perfect gift. He says God is the Father of lights. For some reason he makes reference to that. He's talking about the sun and the moon. But he says in comparison to them, the sun this morning, you expected it to get up. You hear the news, they tell you sunrise will be at such and such a time. You know that the moon is coming up. There are the phases of the moon that are thoroughly recorded. You can read them and you can find out when the moon is going to rise over that horizon. James is saying God is the Father of these lights. He's the one who put them in their place. What happens to the sun? It passes over and it's gone again. The light is there for a time. Then it goes. The moon the same. These things move. These things are eclipsed. He says, with God, there is nothing like that whatsoever. God is there without change, without even a shadow passing over him. I invite you today, in your minds, in your hearts, to do an inventory of what or who you might, with some stretch, turn to and depend on some point in your life. Children depend on parents. Spouses depend on one another. They depend on government to run this country. They depend on the police. Who else do you depend on? What do you depend on? Down to the very earth on which you stand. Do an inventory of these things. Are they utterly stable for all eternity? What else is left? And that's why I say that God is different. There is trouble, there is change all around us. And it doesn't just have to be the bombs in the underground on Thursday. What is it that will upset your equilibrium? I know mine was upset this morning when we had to make an alternative plan. It wasn't what I'd expected. I was caught unawares. How does it affect us? Even the smallest of changes. But remember, the psalmist is telling us, God is something different from all of these things. My temptation was almost to say that God is outside of these things, but he's not, according to the psalm. The psalm says he's in the midst of his people. Is it the tabernacle itself which gives confidence that he refers to in verse 4? It seems to be at the surface what he's talking about, the holy place of the tabernacle. Is that the river that makes glad the city of God? It's not just the physical river, certainly. Is it the tabernacle? No, surely not. It's because it's the tabernacle of the Most High. And he advances that further by saying it's God who is in the midst of her. Therefore she shall not be moved. God is different. So he's not outside. He is in the midst of his people. He draws near. He comes to be with his people. We need to stop and to see and to look, to take the context of the day. Come behold the works of the Lord in verse 8. He has made desolation from here. There was great turmoil at the time. And he says, come and look, come and see. What about today? We are assaulted by violence. It's all around us. They're looking at us. But we're assaulted too by shows, displays of success. That's what happened to these people. Verse 9, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. These were signals of success. The armies that came against Israel had multitudes of chariots and soldiers with their bows and their spears. God takes these things and he destroys them. They are nothing. They seem great. They're the things that's one change that some people look to make success of their lives. Much as the London did on Wednesday. What a great success for this city. What a great joy. What a great delight. The bow and the spear and the chariot of man will be broken. It's not just of the enemies. What about ours as well? What do we depend on? Many a man will depend on the spear and the bow and the chariot. These have no place in dependence on God. Let us know that God is different. Be still. My text for this morning, the key thrust of this psalm, I think, in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I don't know if you know where to find Habakkuk. Don't worry too much if you don't. Just make a reference to one little place. In chapter 2 and verse 20, Habakkuk was surrounded by calamity, much the same kind of scene that I just very briefly painted of the city, of the day, of the psalmist. There were enemies all around. There was evil all around. There was wickedness. And he's trying to come to an understanding of this. And then he comes to the end of chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, and he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Be still and know that I am God. Is your joy based on winning an Olympic bid? Is your sorrow based on relegation from the Premiership? You see people whose teams are relegated in the last game of the season? Maybe tears. So sad. Is your joy resting on successful completion of a task at work? Is your distress caused by pressure at work? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Take a moment to be silent. The earth needs to be silent for a moment and know that he is God. Just the other day, I saw a picture of London after the Blitz. Today is the day that many are commemorating the final victory in Europe in that war. Commemorating that it didn't come easily. It was a drawn-out battle. Many things in our lives don't look good today. But it is, in this case, an incredible victory assured in Christ. Trusting in God, because God is different. God is utterly reliable. And every time I mention that word, we talk about dependence, we talk about faithfulness, and these become rather technical words that you just assume you know what they mean. Talk about God, reliable, you can rely on Him. It's such a down-to-earth word that He is the one who fulfills it completely, without a chink in it. So reliable. So different. Same yesterday, today, and forever. God is different. And therefore, as this psalm says, be still and know that I am God. It's not just something out there. It's something that needs to be in here. In your heart. Do you know Him in that difference? Can we turn to Him and all the questions that are spinning around in people's minds today? Be still and know that I am God. That mad scrambling that's going on all around you day after day. So many seem to pull it off with great aplomb. Doesn't look like a mad scramble. That's what it is. Be still. Have you ever tried to be still in your workplace for a few minutes? Have you ever tried it and perhaps you've had this niggling feeling that it's unproductive time? Have you ever tried it and somebody else has that niggling feeling and makes and does the niggling and says that's unproductive time? What can be more productive than this? Be still and know that I'm God. What better? What gives more stability in life? What gives more completion? This is the Lord of hosts. You may know. But He's not just the Lord of hosts, the multitudes, the mighty and majestic God. He's the God of Jacob. Jacob was a fallible man like you and me. And God says, I belong to him. How often does the Bible call God by the name of a man? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God with us, he wants to be known. He comes to us to be known. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I said that before. Did anyone register? It doesn't say it about God, the word God. It says it about Jesus. But Jesus is God with us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's God coming amongst us with all His stability. Forgive the earthiness of the word for God. That we can know Him. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, without change. Consider the most recent example. The Olympic bid, 7 years to get it right, 7 years to completion. And I can't help myself when I read God's word, but to ask the question, then what? I almost put myself in the place that with all that climax at the end, 7 years from now, the end is at the end. You've done a good job, yes. Make the most of it, it's part of life, anybody who's working in it. But really, in reality, the things that are ultimate value. Thursday we have the bombings, and the death, and the violence. It's suddenness, it's awfulness. It is appointed, the man wants to die, and after that procession, there is a time for each one of us. And God's appointment. No longer to live in this earth. And in the meantime, where is your hope's rest? Where is my hope's rest? What's the answer to all this? Is it normality? Is it a stoic endurance? Is it a psychological mastery? Where do our hopes rest? In Downing Street? My 5 and my 6. Psalm 46 says, whatever a thing I am concerned, I find gladness. God is the river that runs to the city that is made of his people. It's the river that makes the city glad. Knowing God, I have a refuge. I have strength. I think the last time I preached on this psalm was many years ago at a funeral of an old African lady. She couldn't read, she couldn't write, but she knew Psalm 46 by heart. It was a treasure to her. And that spoke volumes. God is their refuge. She was a happy woman. Came that refuge and that strength. The future is unknown. To all except him. And he says of the future, I will be exalted in the earth. And I say, not now, it's not happening. You might say it's not happening here. I say not yet. He knows. Do you know him? Mr. Close, I want to ask you, do you know God in Christ Jesus? Perhaps I should ask, did you know him? Therefore, do you know him? Perhaps you haven't known him. Will you know him now? But the trouble and the change doesn't have to be so dramatic as this past week, but even the least of changes. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm broken. What is it that does it? How can we overcome it? But the least of troubles, but the greatest of troubles. The most dramatic changes, the most gradual changes, let them take you to him. Be as a child. Fighting, scampering to the security of their father. It's undignified, isn't it? But it's so true. It's so necessary. He has his arms welcoming you. I don't think these are all the things that need to be said following the events of this past week. But I believe it's the most important. In all this, you and I should know God, and we will take God to those around us who are also in need. Knowing God, being his son, Jesus Christ, he's the one who shows God to us. How can you therefore not rely on the one who gave his life for you? That's how committed he is to you. That's how committed, how reliable he is, that he would go and fulfill God's word to that extent. But he is the one who lives. And is always with his people. Devoted to the care of his own. God, a refuge and strength. And we do be still and know that he is something. And we can address this word this morning to each one of us. Let's check here. Majesty, O Lord, this is just the glimpse. May we truly be still. May we have an earnest longing after a growing knowledge of you. You too might grow in grace and be conformed to the image of Christ, who is himself the express image of God. And even as we are reminded of your constancy, faithfulness, reliability. We might also live as your children, bearing your characteristics. That is so needed in this world of ours. That you and your Christ should live in your people. I ask, Lord, that you will continue with each one of us today. because you will notice in the words of this your word. And if it limits the vessel and vessel, we will seek out and we will be able to find stillness and silence, even for a moment, to my view. And as you pray all of it, the glory will be yours. I'll sing again. In the name of your Lord, you're here. It will be a name that we love to speak. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn again to Psalm 46, which we sing together, but this time it's the newer version, Psalm 46 on page 60. It is version A. Version B starts on 60 as well, but it's verses 7 to 11 that we'll be turning to. Psalm 46 and verse 7 through to the end is version A. You can find these verses on page 60. The Lord Almighty is with us, strength and sustain. For Jacob's God, our strong defense and fortress, will remain. Let's say again to say, and remain standing for the blessing.
The Lord Almighty is with us, in strength and sustain, for Jacob's God, our strong defense, and fortress will remain. Come see the works the Lord has done, the judgment he commands,
Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen.